Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I don't know about you guys, but when I'm watching a game, there's nothing more exciting than when I'm putting my money on it. Sometimes I have a good feeling about a game, or sometimes I bet my team because they're my team. Whether you've been betting for years or you're just starting out, let MyBookie be the place for you. They got plenty of things you can do, plenty of props, plenty of ways to make money. They got a mobile site, you can bet from anywhere, even make a live bet. And right now we'll match your deposit. Put 100 in, get 100 back. Use the promo code CHEIR, CHEIR, and start playing today. MyBookie, you bet, you win, you get paid. All right, guys, welcome into another Pit Panther Rants, another Sports Rants podcast. And I guess this person, I was just backing out of this parking lot, and this person almost came flying around the bend, I guess. And you know what? Nah, Tom, let's be nice. I was about to go into some road rage, but nah, it's not worth it. But this person came flying around the bend and almost hit me as I was backing out. And then what ticks me off is I just got this car back. But welcome to our Pit Panther Rants, our Sports Friends podcast, you guys. Brought to you by Armchair Media. Take a seat. 10 minutes left of my on-call period. I get a call that the system's down again, and kind of frustrating because, well, I have all the stuff I have to do and all these appointments that I've been promising other people, and I haven't been able to do them because, well, some people just can't get their act together. But I told this, you know, the next person that's on call what they need to do, and I'm over it. Anyways, college football wrapped up. We saw LSU defeat Clemson. I thought Clemson would win this one. I went with them mainly because I wasn't too crazy about the SEC. You know, this as a conference as a whole, although the ACC wasn't any better. But basically, the SEC, for the most part, tends to be the kid on the, you know, when you play a little league, you always have that one teammate who has like the best equipment. He may have the best batting gloves, the best spikes, the best aluminum bat. He may have that aluminum bat that's made of that lightweight aluminum, you know, so the bat's really light, and the bat costs a fortune. And you may think he's good, but turns out, well, he can't hit for shit, and so there you go. That's what the SEC, you know, tends to be. But LSU was just another different, on a whole different level. And it's funny to see all this love fest for Ed Orgeron from some of the LSU fans when they wanted him gone before last year. I mean, we had one person who's a local, who did local radio in Houston. He was wondering what game they could fire him by. But Coach O prevailed, and of course everybody loves him now. But, you know, good for him. I mean, I thought he should have gotten the USC job when it was available. He did some nice things for them after Kiffin got fired. It looked like he opened up the game a lot more for USC after Kiffin was fired. And it seemed like, you know what, maybe Ed, you know, learned a lot from his first stint at Ole Miss. And, you know, he knew what he needed to do to get, you know, to where he needed to be. So the LSU job came about, and people wanted him gone, and you know, he surrounded himself with really good assistants. I mean, he had Matt Canada, which didn't work out. But Ed didn't like what he was doing and brought somebody that would, you know, fit more with his needs and goals. So, hey, good for him. But I watched the game and, you know, Clemson came out swinging and they missed on some good opportunities. But even they got the Joe Burrow at one point, but they couldn't take advantage of a lot of it. And LSU just got stronger for the most part as the game went along. And, well, that was it. And it doesn't mean that Clemson was overrated. I mean, it was just college football this year basically was basically LSU and everybody else. So there's really no shame in that. I mean, this is probably one of the greatest college football teams in history, possibly, because of all the, you know, teams they beat. And Joe Burrow had probably one of the greatest seasons in college football history. I mean, it's amazing. But overall, it wasn't too bad a season of college football. I mean, there was a lot of, you know, the thing about the playoffs now is teams are scheduling differently for the playoffs, and we're not going to see as many more marquee, you know, out-of-conference games and whatnot. It's all going to be basically in-conference is where all the excitement is going to be. Unfortunately. And there's a fire truck. Well, the fire truck is now coming my way, so my guess, and I'm heading towards the freeway, which makes me to believe that there's a wreck on the freeway. Wow, that sucks. Well, I hope the person's all right. You know. Anyways, I made it through the underpass, so I won't have to pull over. As far as those people go, if they're hurt, well, I hope they're not hurt. I hope nobody's hurt. I mean, it's raining out. There's always going to be an accident when it's raining. So I sincerely hope they're all right. And I sincerely hope this fire truck is going on the freeway. Oh, they are. Awesome. But as you all saw the other week, or at least last week, Matt Rhule left Baylor for the NFL. I have a coworker whose son plays for the Baylor football team. So naturally, when he got the text, he was shocked. You know, stunned that Matt Rhule was gone. Although Matt Rhule was very open with the players about he was going to talk to NFL teams. He supposedly joked to one of the Baylor players that it was going to take at least $14 million for him to leave, you know, Baylor. Well, he got $9 million, so I think he's good in that respect. But he was open, and I think, you know, the thing about Matt Rhule was it would have to be the right opportunity. He took the Baylor job for the obvious reasons. He knew about the scan, you know, all the stuff that was happening with them, all the fallout. But he knew that the way Baylor has what they've done with their athletic programs, all the money they put into them, that if they gave him what he wanted, he would he'd have the program back in no time, which is what happened. So that's why he took the job. And he knew what he... As soon as he got in, he knew what he had. By year two, he knew his team was going to go to a bowl game. Because he saw what he... He knew what he had already. And he knew what work they were putting in. And if all worked out, they would go to a bowl game. And by year three, he knew that they would play... He predicted, actually, they would play in an important game. Which they did play for the conference title, and they went to the Sugar Bowl. Why? Because he knew what he had in terms of players, and he knew the work they were putting in. So Carolina is getting a really good coach, and Matt Rhule gets it totally. But yeah, at the end of the day, there's the business side of it. And, you know, players are shocked. They will always be. I mean, they sent a text out, and then, of course, right now they have an interim coach, you know, by the name of McGuire. He was a very successful Texas head coach, and he's the guy that Matt Rhule brought on because he needed somebody to recruit Texas. And he may get players love him, so he may get get hired as head coach. We'll see. Here's the thing, though: if he doesn't get hired, someone else is going to hire him and give him some money. So, if I'm Baylor, I probably want to hold on to him. Pitt lost on Sunday to Miami. That was a game they could have won. That's Miami and Wake are two games they could have won. That's the thing about this team is they're so up and down. But the thing is, they have to be so locked in for the entire game that they can afford scoring droughts and whatnot. Basically, they can't afford to screw around. And Capel stressed it to them after the North Carolina game that they saw what they needed to do, and of course, well, they went to Miami and didn't do it for the most part. And they can make a comebacks, and you know, it's that fool me once, fool me twice kind of thing. So this week they're back at home. They got North Carolina coming up again. I think North Carolina's gonna be a little bit more awake this time, and well, they'll probably make us pay, which I hope not. And then we got Louisville. So after the North Carolina win, I was hoping for at least, I predicted probably 0-4, 1-3. I was hoping for more, but I guess I was asking for too much. Shame on me. But on top of that, Pitt unveiled the whole Victory Heights thing. And it's an awesome plan. I know people are going to jump about the on-campus stadium thing. The on-campus thing is never going to happen. I mean, if it does, it won't be for a long time. I'll probably be dead if there's an on-campus stadium ever. And like I said, I've outlined why I would not want an on-campus stadium. Because I think that the developers would be brought in and they would ruin it. They would ruin Oakland. Let them fuck up the North Shore. I mean, I don't really care. Let them continue to build and tear down tailgating lots, put hotels up and all that other crap. Let them do it. And then eventually the Steelers will probably abandon it to go to Cranberry. Then we're stuck with a bunch of hotels and whatnot. Or we can just build more casinos. I mean, shit, we got that one. We can add on to it. Do some riverboat if we don't do it already. Who knows? I don't know. But it's a beautiful plan, and, women's volleyball is getting a new complex, and deservedly so. I mean, the Fitzgerald Fieldhouse is nice, but it doesn't have air conditioning, which shocks the hell out of me. But then again, I don't think the Carrier Dome in Syracuse has air conditioning either. It's got to suck, really, if you think about that. Oof. You're figuring, Jesus, all that perspiration in that place? Oof. Maybe it's not, hopefully it's not that bad. I don't know. Oh, well. Yesterday we did a survey for, we're trying to get another sponsor, and I had to do the whole over 21 thing, and I really didn't realize how many people under 21 listen to my podcast. Kudos to you guys for listening to this. I mean, unless it's my followers just screw with me. But kudos to you guys, man. That's awesome. I'm glad you have the free time to listen to this. I'm surprised. I mean, anyone has time to listen to this, but I could easily. I mean, if I really was dissatisfied with this podcast, I would stop it any time. But I've become a creature of habit with it, so why the hell not? I mean, I'm not going to go and be... I'm not going to have a radio show or anything like that. Oh, hey, more pages are coming in. Well, I'm no longer on call, so fuck this. I ain't going to worry about it. Of course, I have to go on site, so I'll have to, you know, let them... I'll have to hear them complain. Get this working. But that's life. Anyways. Yeah, I mean, we're working on a sponsor right now, and of course, it deals with something over 21. It's not cigarettes, unfortunately, because the smoking age now is 21 in some states. It's 21 in Texas. I think Pennsylvania was pushing for it if they haven't already. Here's the thing. It's 21 in Texas, but they're not really enforcing it in the gas stations and whatnot. Mainly because, you know, a lot of their customers are under 21. They're 18 over. And that's where they get a lot of their business from. And it's not so much just selling cigarettes. They're selling cigars, you know, single cigars, because you can buy singles now of them now, whether the Black and Milds or the Backwoods. I used to love Backwoods in high school. I'm 40 now. I used to love them. I used to love those things because they would come in a little package where it wasn't like a box. It was like more like a pouch. And you would get these little cigars. Literally, they were hand-rolled, and they looked awesome. And, of course, what other ones did I smoke? There was the Philly Blunts. Those were good. Swisher Sweets were decent. What else? Black and Milds. I smoked those, I think, my senior year of high school. I went to Ocean City, Maryland for a week. It was like August after I graduated. I think I smoked Black and Milds the entire freaking week. I think I got there on a Sunday and I smoked by Thursday, my mouth was freaking dry and scaly, and from all the beer I was drinking and the cigars I was smoking, that had to stop smoking that stuff for a while. And I don't think I've smoked Black and Milds since then. I mean, when I went to Canada, I had a Cuban cigar, and that was life-changing. But, you know, for you kids that are, I shouldn't say kids, or young adults who are under 21, listen to my podcast. If you're over 18, go to Canada. I think drinking age is still 18. You may need your birth certificate or whatever. I think they require you a passport now, but drinking age is 18, and you get to buy some Cuban cigars. In Toronto, I think Toronto is like a 4 to 6 hour drive. It's not that it's about the same as driving to Ocean City, Maryland. And it's not a bad drive. I mean, go grab a few of your buddies, get a hotel room and go hit the town. Because when I went to Toronto back in 2001, it was hilarious. I handed them my ID for carding, and the guy's like, "Why are you handing me your ID for? You look like you're 18. And I'm like, "Huh?" He's like, "Yeah, drinking age is 18 here." Unless Canada got fucking uppity, or at least Toronto didn't raise it to 21, which I hope not. And plus, beer's a lot stronger there. At least I thought it was, or used to be. And the Hockey Hall of Fame is in Toronto. So, I mean, go check that out, you young whippersnappers. But, yeah, thanks for listening, you guys. I'm glad to have you. I mean, if there's any adult advice you guys need from me on my podcast, feel free to send me a DM or whatever. Now, we had the NFL playoffs. That happened over the weekend. I mean, we got the AFC and NFC title games are set to go. Let's see what we got here. Let's start with Saturday, for instance. The 49ers beat the Vikings, and I took the Vikings to win that game. The 49ers are just came out swinging. They executed a game plan for the most part. I mean, they just Jimmy G was hitting on all cylinders, and I thought he would struggle. he was just freaking throwing lasers. And the Vikings were going to need more out of Kirk Cousins to win this game, it turned out. And, well, Kirk can only do so much. You know, you can only give Dalvin Cook the ball so much before you have to rely on Kirk Cousins. And, well, Kirk, you know, did all he could, but golly gee, he just wasn't enough. And then that night, we saw the Titans beat the Ravens, which didn't surprise me because, you know, Baltimore, well, I mean, for the most part, they played a lot of crappy teams. I mean, New England wasn't that great, although they beat them. But our division, for the most part, was pretty mediocre. Cleveland sucked. Cincinnati sucked. The Steelers were pretty much mediocre for the most part. The Titans, obviously, I mean, my guess is that probably Belichick gave, he probably gave Vrabel his game plan and said, this is how to beat the Ravens. And they did a masterful job of it. I mean, they took away a lot of Lamar's running lanes, forced him to the sidelines, and I thought by halftime, you know, when the Ravens were driving and got three before the half, I figured that Baltimore would turn up in the second half, and it just wasn't the case. Derrick Henry was a man amongst boys, and I mean, it doesn't discount what Lamar Jackson did. He had a great year. He's MVP. I mean, he had an MVP season for the most part. I mean, he had probably one of the best years we've seen. It doesn't take away what he did. I mean, the playoffs are just another level, and I'm sure he'll be back and they'll get further next time, maybe in the Super Bowl. But I think once Mark Ingram went down, that was pretty much it for him, because Mark Ingram was one of his, you know, they're like a 1-2 punch, and it just didn't happen. And they were off score 51-7 to close out the game. Titans and the Chiefs. And we got the Packers and the 49ers, which should be a really good game because, you know, these guys were rivals back in the 90s. And of course, they were rivals. No, they've been rivals. I mean, Colin Kaepernick used to give them fits until Green Bay, you know, figured them out. They had to go to Texas A&M to do that, but they figured them out. Anyways, I'll close up here, guys, because I have nothing much else to ramble about. I'll talk to you guys later this week. Hell to Pit. See you later.